Copen in Copenhagen. This is a podcast about hanging out in Copenhagen.
Hello and welcome to the Sick Show Podcast. Hello and welcome to Sick Show Podcast on 97.7 FM.
Sounded like you surprised yourself there.
I did. On 97.7 FM. My name is Owen, and of course I'm here with Marius.
Hello, Seb.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. And a special welcome to anybody who has clicked the link on the post website. Welcome to the show, you found us. Congratulations.
Yeah.
This is your guide to living in the city of Copenhagen and, you know, Denmark. And this episode. Well, this episode, the one we're recording now.
Let me tell you.
What are we going to be talking about?
We're kicking it off with our classic news roundup.
Brilliant.
Yes. Then we're going to talk about something we both long to do, traveling.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then we have an article from the Copenhagen Post where we're talking to a man and a woman, Pia and James.
Uh-huh.
There was an article sort of looking at how are men dealing with corona? How are women dealing with corona?
Uh-huh.
We're going to dive into that, Owen.
Oh,
yes.
Right.
And then we got some hot tips. And then we're going to call it a show. Gonna call a show.
You kind of ran out of steam at that last little.
Totally did. But we're staying on it.
All right.
We're keeping it in.
Sounds good. Let's get into it. You're on Sick. Inform me. What's the news? What should I know?
Well, in Corona news, we'll kick it off with that. We're easing into phase two here in Denmark of the relaunch
of the Marvel franchise.
The reopening. Such things as cafes and restaurants and bars and museums are slowly opening up. Still with some restrictions of this whole. Now it's not 2 meters you have to stay apart, but 1 meter.
Really?
Yes. Yes, someone.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So you can get a little bit closer, but still not that close.
Mm.
I highly recommend carrying around a measuring tape to, you know, be in compliance.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so freedom of movement is slowly sort of becoming possible, basically. Mm-hmm. And there's now even talks because Germany, our neighboring country, they're ready to reopen their borders. And they're ready to reopen to France, Switzerland, Austria, and Denmark.
Oh!
Yes. Distancing rules will still apply, so you will still have to sort of wash your hands and stay, you know, either 1 or 2 meters apart, depending on these countries' rules.
Yeah.
This is good news for the tourism industry in these countries, obviously, and that's something that a lot of these countries are heavily reliant on.
Mm-hmm.
The EU Commission is sort of launching this tourism package with sort of countries with similar infection rates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, slowly opening up. For this, in Denmark, though, the Mette Frederiksen, the prime minister, she's not ready to give a date on this. We're still just in phase two, and this is a kind of a potential for phase three. So she's not ready to give any date on this,
mm-hmm.
but we can expect an answer regarding this on June 1st, the latest.
Oh, okay.
So we should start sort of having an idea about can we travel?
Right. Okay.
So this is a good thing.
Yeah.
Slow, but surely things are opening up. So this is something we could be happy about, I
mm-hmm.
think. And I think that's something people have for most of us in the Western world where. You know, unless you've actually had the coronavirus or family members have been affected and been ill and stuff like that. This is one of the sort of things that I think really sort of people miss. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly have, you know, probably something we've taken for granted also. So hopefully this will come into effect very soon.
Mm.
In other good corona-related news.
Oh, you're on a roll.
I'm on a roll.
Go on.
On a goddamn roll.
Yeah.
There's a Danish breakthrough. About scans that shows whether patients are in for sort of a serious, if you have the coronavirus, how serious will it be?
Really?
Yeah. It's still sort of being, it's not finalized yet, but it's Danish research project that's sort of been sort of discovering how they could sort of really test to see how severe your potential coronavirus infection will be.
Okay, that's going to come in handy because you hear so many stories of people who are like asymptomatic or very like light flu symptoms, and then people who are completely knocked out for weeks. And like age bracket doesn't really seem to make a difference. I've heard of young healthy people being completely knocked on their arse, and I have a friend who's in late 50s and they got coronavirus and they have absolutely no symptoms.
So we're also going into this like that's maybe something Denmark hasn't been that great at yet, and a lot of countries haven't been like the testing. And they're really trying to ramp it up now, so this will come in handy if because it's still only for people who have think they might have had coronavirus.
Yeah.
And as you said, some people can have it and
not even know it.
Be affected.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are these tents that we mentioned previously, and like you can go to these tents now if you think you've had the coronavirus.
See, I passed those tents, and there's nothing in them. I've looked in two of them.
You looked into them?
I've looked into them, like literally looked into them. Not like, oh, I'm curious, I'll research it. Okay. I looked into the tent.
You went into a tent?
I went into the tent.
Wow.
And there's nothing in them.
Hmm.
So
what's that about?
What's with that?
Yeah.
Unless I was just looking in someone's tent who was camping.
Camping.
Yeah.
Was it a big white tent?
It was.
Was it in Philippang?
Not the one I looked in, but very similar to that one.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah.
Peculiar.
Yeah.
But that is the plan to really ramp up testing. So that's a bit concerning.
I was a bit, because I was expecting to see doctors at the wait. I mean, I'm not like that, but like I thought I'd see something in there, but no, it's completely empty.
Huh.
Yep.
Mm. I'm pretty sure the one in Feldpagen is doing so, because
that would make sense. Like, that's the one right next to the hospital, right? They've got a bunch of...
True, but it's kind of bullshit if they... oh, we're testing people, and then there's a tent with nothing in it.
There's a tent! Do I go into that tent? No, not that one.
Not that one.
Go into the other one.
Yes, you silly man. Anyway, well, that is the plan, that they want to test more people.
Yeah.
So it's good news that this potential new development can also help really give a clearer insight on how severe your potential corona infection would be.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of where we are with this. It's very exciting to see what phase two will be.
Exciting. Exciting is a word. I'm apprehensive, maybe. I've no idea what it's going to look like. That's the thing about it. I don't know what the new world's going to look like. That's
No one does. Uncertainty is in the horizon.
you sound like a very accurate fortune teller. Uncertainty.
I see uncertainty.
There is possibilities.
Yes, you will not travel. I don't know why my
what voice is that?
I don't know. I'll work on my fortune teller.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, uh-huh. For next show, yeah. Maybe. Yes. Saying this, there was a press conference also Monday.
Yeah.
And like it's still uncertain. Uh-huh. But there was a lot of reporters asking about what is the sort of, because there has been a lot of countries like China now are starting to see a lot of new cases. And that's happening in, I think, also France and Germany.
Germany's got on the rise again, yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting with them now opening, like ready to opening the borders. But the news in Denmark are that a second corona wave is very unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it could all go go to shit again.
Yeah.
But apparently, even though we have talked about this on the show, when you go out, there has been there are people definitely, and people are hanging out.
I've been licking faces and shaking feet and
as
shaking hands. I know I'm not paying much attention now. Okay, no, I am. I'm not shaking hands or anything like that.
No.
But when I bump into people, like I was going for a run earlier on, and I bumped into some people by the Red Square.
That you knew, or just actually?
No, I just ran straight into them. They're in my way. No, people I knew, and I sat right next to them. Right, no distance. was like, hey guys, sat down. Yeah. And then I got back to the run. I'm like, shit, I sat too close. I shouldn't have been that close to them, you know?
Mm. I went on an acting gig. And I don't know these people. Like, I just come out as the actor kind of thing. And then the caster who had casted me was there. And she was a very very friendly person. And she was like, hi, Marius.
Hmm.
And I could see she was
as going you're always in, greeted.
Yeah, yeah, I could see she was going in for a hug.
Ooh.
And I didn't know how to sort of, like, yeah. I didn't want to be like, whoa.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I gave her a hug. There was another lady and she was like, oh my God, you guys just hugged.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck. The lady was just like, I'm a hugger. I can't help it.
Fuck's sake.
I was like,
I watched, there was a big thing in the beer scene now, in the craft beer thing, is online beer tasting.
Yeah.
Right. So you can, I think the idea is you get the beers and you drink along with people having professional tastings and stuff like that. And Tuol and McKellar had one.
Mm-hmm.
And Mikkel from the owner of McKellar was in it. And like a brewer, I can't remember who it was, but somebody sat at the table and joined him. I was looking at it online, and he came up and he was like, oh, I miss you so much, Mikkel. And not only did he shake his hands, he leant over and kissed his hands.
Oh God.
Live on live stream. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm like, I know you're drinking, but Jesus Christ. Because other people had put effort into, like, you know, elbows or not shaking hands. And this guy fucking comes in and kisses his hands. I'm like,
Jesus.
Fuck, come on, man.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Live, like, and thousands of people would have seen it. You're just like, God. Idiot.
Yeah, that's not good promotion.
No, no.
Yeah, stay vigilant out there. That will help us reopen Denmark.
Yes,
do not lick faces or touch feet.
No.
Anyway, another non-corona related news that I read is that you know, we got this new metro line, and this is very much a first world problem.
Yeah.
But internet doesn't work down there.
Are you what?
I know.
What?
I know.
Protest. Take to the streets. Yes.
But good news.
It will work.
They are bringing high quality internet this fall to the M3 metro line.
So I can watch that YouTube video between stops now.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yes. Those 2 to 3 minutes. Fear not.
Yeah.
You can still watch some crap YouTube or swipe your Tinder or whatever you want to do.
Well.
But yeah. So that's something to look.
But there it is coming in. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, that's good news. That's good. In this day and age, we'll take it. We'll take it.
Yeah.
Another interesting news story I read in the Copenhagen Post. A Italian member of parliament, Felivio Martesolio, I've completely butchered that name, apologies, has asked the Danish government to release 3 men that were arrested back in February for suspicion of spying for a Saudi Arabian security organization or group. Or affiliated with Saudi Arabia. This politician is saying that they've been wrongfully arrested and is asking for their immediate release. Now, the 3 men are members of the Arab Struggle Movement for the Liberation of Avaz, which is Avaz is an Iranian city, and from my understanding, it's a kind of a separatist movement from within the Iranian country. What this Italian minister is affiliated with, how he's affiliated, I'm not sure. But he's claiming that they're a political, peaceful activist movement, and they should be released straight away.
In Denmark?
Yeah.
What?
And spying for, and the ambassador of Saudi Arabia has been questioned by the Danish government.
Oh.
So I'm curious, a lot of like these kind of clandestine Middle Eastern Central Asian activities seem to happen in Denmark. There's the Iranian assassination attempt a couple of years ago. Remember that?
No.
And there's remember when they closed down Zealand and closed all the borders because of the crime or something like that, and they're looking for a black car and there had been a crime committed. That was looking for somebody who attempted to assassinate an Iranian citizen here.
Oh shit!
It only came out like 3 or 4 months.
I remember the
when it was all closed down.
Yeah, I remember. I never really got the story behind it.
It was an assassination attempt on an Iranian.
Mm.
And this just seems to be, it's like a Jean Le Carré novel of like this kind of espionage and stuff like that. It's, yeah, I just find these stories fascinating.
Yeah, why Denmark? Yeah, it seems like, I never really buy into like these major crime, like the whole crime noir kind of thing that was like, they were well made and good acting and all that. So I was just like, nah, this doesn't happen in Denmark.
It does a little bit.
Maybe it does.
Speaking of crime noir, I think I mentioned to you not so long ago, I was watching The Bridge.
Yeah.
And I think did you mention the main issue about it was that in reality, no Swede and Dane would have full conversations in Swedish and Danish.
Yeah, that's very unlikely that they would just like have fluently understand each other. Yeah.
I totally see what you're saying. I really enjoyed it, finished it, which was very good. I have to say, I think I enjoyed it more because I live in Copenhagen.
Yeah, okay.
And I was able to see places and I'm like, oh, I know that place. And like pick up a little bit of Danish as I was going. Mm. You know, like the don't tell Trent, but I don't speak Danish. Trent Coeli thinks anybody who's listening to the show recently knows that Trent thinks I speak fluent Danish. I don't.
Me and Owen always have a funny stare at each other when Trent says that.
Because he's mentioned a few times that like, well, Owen, you speak Danish. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
But with the Bridge, it is fun to kind of follow a little words and know, because it's fairly clear when it's a real difference in the sentence.
Mm.
Like if it's a relatively similar, I'll not know the difference. But
Swedish
when
it's in Danish,
but even in Danish, like trying to pick up the Danish.
Ah, you know? Okay, yeah.
But it got me thinking. We talked about, I think was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So can you just remind?
Well, there was a. A video that went viral, which is very rare, about a Danish a female police officer entering an apartment, and a young guy, like there was three young people in that apartment, and a young guy sort of was asking why the police was entering, and there's no the background story is a bit unclear, so I don't know why the police was entering this apartment, maybe some kind of noise or whatever, but he was just kind of brushing his teeth, this young man, and asking what's the issue here, officer, and the officer was very like, back off, you better close this fucking door and back off. And this man was like, but I don't understand what the issue is, and then he was kind of put down, basically, quite heavily manhandled. But yeah, and that kind of rough Danish police,
and we were talking about should people be videotaping police more often, body cameras and stuff
like that. Yeah.
I was talking to a Swedish friend. I think The Bridge was brought into it or something like that. But anyway, real conversation about police brutality and Danish police being forceful and stuff came into the conversation.
Oh.
And I was told that in Sweden, if you want to talk about police being rough or like a particularly bad police officer, you use the Danish word for police.
Okay.
Yeah.
So politi.
Yeah. Instead of poli, is it what it's in Swedish? I can't remember now.
Poli sounds cute though.
Poli.
I have no idea what it is in Sweden. Politi?
It's something similar. Seemingly they use Danish word for police to talk about police brutality, or like if you're saying it's a particularly shitty. And they said, my friends were telling me that it's kind of a known thing that Danish police are within Europe known as pretty fucking rough.
Oh.
And being influencers in policy is the main issue. That they're not just enforcers of law, but they have sway within policy making.
Oh, here in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. Interesting. Hmm. Something to dive into there.
Yeah, which I found fascinating. I thought that was really interesting. And I'd love to, if anybody has any take on that, because I personally never have considered it, but now I'm a privileged middle-aged young guy who's never had encounters with police.
You are middle-aged.
Shut the fuck up. But I feel relatively safe here, right?
I think Denmark in general is considered very, very safe.
But I'd be interesting, but I'm talking from a very one-sided point of view, right?
Mm.
Like, for instance, I've mentioned 100 trillion times I used to live in Australia. I felt not so safe with the police there. I thought New South Wales police were pretty rough.
Okay, yeah.
And I think they're known for that, but I never thought about it in Denmark. So I put it out there to any listeners if you want to kind of, because this is news to me. I'm learning this, you know.
Yeah.
If they have any particular stories they want to talk about, or I think, yeah, maybe let's look into the policy making and stuff like that. I think that's fascinating if police are involved in that.
Yeah. Da, da, da.
Anyway, Dem's the news.
Dem is the news.
Yeah.
Owen.
Yeah.
You mentioned to me.
Oh God! But I've said a lot of things to you.
You've said a lot
in
of
private.
Things.
Yeah. What did I say this time?
Well, I'll give a little because it's going to be revealed later. But you mentioned in this interview that we've pre-recorded with the two people we'll have on from the Copenhagen Post that you had an ambition to at the end of the before your passport was renewed,
yeah,
that you wanted four more sort of stamps in it.
Yeah, just for clarification, I deleted that bit. That's that.
Great.
Yeah, yeah. But it's true. It's the statement stands.
The statement stands. Okay.
I listened. I was editing that interview, and I thought, God, that's a pointless piece of shit. Take that out of it. But you thought it was worthy for the listeners.
I found it fascinating. No, yes, I'll tell you why. Right. I'll tell you why I found it fascinating. Yeah, yeah. Because I'm a big fan of stamps in my passport.
Yeah.
And every time I travel in Europe, it's great that I don't have to go through passport control, but I do miss the stamp.
Yeah.
I do want that, and it's completely an egotistical blah blah blah. Mm. It's completely just so I can show my passport and say I've been to a lot of countries.
Yeah, it's totally. look at all the places I have been. Yeah, yeah, totally. I really wanted to get I want to fill a passport.
Yeah,
That would be great because I've seen them. I've met many a traveler who's completely. Actually, I met this not Ukrainian. Dude, I met a dude. Maybe he was Ukrainian. Maybe I think he was like half Ukrainian.
Let's say he was Ukrainian.
Who cares? He's not listening. Unless he is, then hey. But I met this dude on a train in Azerbaijan, and he had 5-6 passports he traveled with. Mm. And the thing was, it wasn't like he needed them. He just because he constantly travels. He's like a globetrotter nomad, right?
Yeah.
So he's constantly filling passports and he just brings them with him to show people.
Ah.
It was just like, I don't need to see it. Like, it's cool if I'm sitting at a bar and with a guy who's traveling or a girl who's traveling and they're like, oh, I got this stamp. I'm like, oh, fuck, that's a cool visa or whatever. Mm. But to bring five passports and he's like, let me get them. I'm like, I don't fucking need to see your passports, man.
Well, but it's funny maybe a bit that you can relate it to people collecting stamps.
Yeah.
But like, because I did travel quite a bit and at one point in my life. And I was so like, oh, wow, I get another stamp.
Yeah.
I got a little bit addicted. It was a bit of a high every time I got a stamp.
Yeah.
I was like, another one in the passport. And I love it when it's, and I think it's like something from movies or something like.
Indiana Jones, right?
Something, yeah, a passport or a spy thing, and like they have stamps in it. And I was like, oh my god, look at those sexy stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it how they're like just like they're because they're not like neatly put in like one on each page.
Yeah,
and I had an old passport. I think I probably still have it. Actually, I kept it. That had heaps in it, and they were all over the place. And like, I love the different, like one for Bolivia and Brazil and Argentina. And it just, I love them. I don't know why. There's something about stamps in general, a stamp.
Yeah, and visas.
Yeah,
visas are cool. The ones with your face on them. Do you get those?
Yeah,
they're class.
Yeah, I also had a fine in one of my passports.
A fine?
Yeah, because I was kicked out of Brazil, basically. I think I've told this story, so I'm not going to tell it again. But anyway, I got, and I was quite proud of that. I had like a fine in my passport. You have been thrown out of Brazil.
I have a null and void stamp in my passport.
What does that mean?
I was leaving Morocco, and the flight, after I checked in and got my exit stamp, the flight got cancelled. And it was chaos. People went nut jobs. I think a guy attacked one of the staff. Like it was really, really chaotic. I remember this is a long, long time ago now, but they all put us up in a hotel.
You are middle aged.
I am middle, as we've clarified and come to terms with now. I'm 59. And is that, I don't know what it is anymore. But so I had to come back. I wasn't entering the country again. but they nullified my exit. So I was just like in limbo because I had to stay with, I couldn't leave the country again. I had to, or like travel in the country. So I had to go to the hotel they put us up in and then come directly back to the airport and they put a stamp in. So I didn't, there's like this weird point where I wasn't anywhere. You know what I mean? That's happened a few times actually. But yeah, so I've got like a nullified or null and void stamp in my passport.
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah. What was the most exotic stamp you got, do you think?
I have a stamp for... I have a visa for Nagorno-Karabakh, which is a kind of unofficial country between Azerbaijan and Armenia.
Oh,
yeah. After the fall of the Soviet Union, yeah. Azerbaijan and Armenia have been at odds for a long, long time. And then Armenia took this point to kind of take advantage of the chaos, and they took back this region that Azerbaijan claimed long, long time ago that was theirs, right? Nagorno-Karabakh, it's in the mountains, just on the border of Armenia. But officially, Azerbaijan doesn't recognize it. And it's not in any maps, right? But it's still an ongoing war zone. But you can get in there, and it's got its own government. And it's like a de facto part of Armenia. But they have own passport, they have their own stamp. I don't know about passport, but they have their own visas, their own governance, everything like that. And I had to, because I was going to Azerbaijan later, you can get arrested to go into Nagorno-Karabakh, right? I'm probably saying it a little bit wrong, by the way. It's illegal to go there because they don't recognize it as a state. Okay. So you get the visa, but you if you want to travel further, you don't put it into your passport. You get it on a piece of paper. So they don't, because they'll ask you every time you go into Azerbaijan, they'll ask you, have you been there? And if you say yes, you're not allowed in.
Yeah, okay.
Or you get arrested within, like it's happened. But I was able to get it like on the side, and then I was able to put it in my passport afterwards once I'd finished traveling.
Yeah, okay. Right.
So that was pretty cool. Mm. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Mm. I like that one. Yeah. But the point is,
traveling.
We're not going to do any of that now.
No. And I've had it so many times during this thing. Oh, we should travel.
Yeah.
We've got time.
Yeah.
Oh no, you idiot.
Yeah, I was like, that occurred to me a few times.
Yeah.
I've got like three weeks coming up in August, something where I've got time off, depending, like everything permitting. Mm. But I was like, oh yeah, let's nothing. Let's nothing,
let's
Owen.
Let's not.
Let's maybe go to Aarhus.
Yeah. Let's go to Aarhus.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
That'd be good, actually. Been? Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was there last year. Oh. Aarhus is cool. And it also, even if I'm trying to go back to Ireland, they're making it look like law that you have to take 2 weeks quarantine.
Yeah.
Flying back in. Yeah. So even if I go there, I can't go there. You know, I can't go anywhere.
Mm. Yeah, that's shit.
So you got to kind of look out for that kind of stuff as well. It's
alas, no more stamps.
Not this
in
year.
In this passport, yeah.
Sadly, it's put away with no new ones. But anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah. First world problems.
Indeed. There's a lot bigger problems out there. But I do miss it. I do miss it. So, shall we go into the next?
Yeah, you're just staring at me. You're like, well, I thought you had this.
I've totally got this on. Let me show you what a pro am.
The Copenhagen Post a couple of weeks ago did an article asking a few men what they miss most during the quarantine times. And the answers came back pretty standard. Football, the pub, Tinder, things of that nature. Some people said the answers weren't that insightful, so they followed up with another article asking women the same kind of questions. We decided here on Coping Copenhagen to balance it all out and talk to James from England, who is a filmmaker, who's in the men's article, and Pia, who is a freelance writer, half Australian, half Danish. She's in the women's article. We're going to hash it out and see if we can't come to an agreement between both sexes. Strangely enough, they actually knew each other.
Pia, do you remember me? I filmed you in my basement.
Oh, yes, I do remember you.
Good times, eh?
Oh, wow.
We love bringing people together here on the Zitcho podcast.
We're all about that.
Oh my God, that's funny. Small world.
So I think let's just kick it off with James. James, do you think, so you were asking your article about Tinder and dating and being a single man. And then other, yeah. the other people in the article were, other men were asked about like the pub, missing the pubs and missing the football. Do you think that's boiling
Summing
it down?
Men.
Yeah, yeah.
maybe in the 1980s. I feel like men are a little bit more complex than that now. Mm-hmm. Although I was involved with the Tinder part of the article, which maybe I should have elaborated on. No, I think it's a bit more complicated than that. I don't know how.
Put you on the spot to represent all men. No, I thought you also, in your piece, there was also, you also spoke to sort of, as being a filmmaker, sort of how these lockdown days have been a good opportunity to dive into whatever art form you're, or whatever kind of expression or creative expression you're working on.
Yes.
Due to this, maybe, you know, isolation and forced isolation, sort of that's a good opportunity. How have you, like, used this period?
There's two sides to that. One, yeah, I've got a lot more time now to actually make stuff. There's no excuses, you know, there's no commute, there's no, well, I have been working through, but it's kind of been half work. So it's left a lot of time with me just feeling guilty doing nothing. So I started writing again, which is something I haven't done for a while. And then I actually made a short film, which was nice. And I'm finding a lot more time and a lot more creativity just because I guess there's no other options except for when I'm Tindering.
You are, the way you kind of phrase that now, it sounds like you're always almost enjoying it. Are you feeling like you're being, this has been beneficial to you overall, or are you just kind of making the bad best of a bad situation?
I feel my mental health is struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, I'm creating more.
What about you, Pia? Are you finding a bit of creativity during these times? Are you finding a bit of positivity through it?
As you're a freelance writer, right? If I understand correctly.
Yes, yeah. So I'm in a similar situation that in many ways my work, especially over April, really slowed down. So I found myself with a lot of spare time, which I haven't had for, I can't even remember the last time I've had this much time on my hands, but it's actually funny because the first few weeks of it, I felt like I was almost on holiday. And I said to my boyfriend that I've actually never felt so relaxed in my life, not even on holiday.
Wow.
In a time when I should actually be super stressed about everything. And I am one of those people that I tend to overthink things, not necessarily stress about it, just overthink things. But I found that I've been really calm because it's so out of our hands. Everything is so out of our hands at this point that you can only really just wait and see what happens. And I felt super calm, and it's changed a bit now. It's been a long time that we've obviously been on lockdown now, so I have more work. And but I have also just been using this time to do a lot of the things that I felt like I didn't have time to do before, which was, I guess reading a lot of my own writing as well, rather than just writing for clients or for specific publications or whatever. I would just write for the sake of writing, which I haven't done in years and years and years. And which is kind of ironic as a writer, but and then I've just... Yeah, I think it's just been really nice to kind of just tune everything back a little bit and not, I'm hypersocial usually. So it's quite nice to just not have plans. I thought I would hate it because I don't like being alone so much, but it's actually been fine.
I read that in the article. I could, you mentioned that you are a very social being, but now there's a you mentioned that you were almost dreading kind of returning to normal life.
Yeah, it's weird because I am an extrovert by nature, and I've always really enjoyed being around people all the time. And so I thought as soon as this lockdown was announced that this would be like a death sentence for me, because it would be a real struggle both mentally, but also just because I value my friendships and my speaking to people so much.
Yeah.
But it's actually been, I think I've realized that the people that I do speak to now, I know I'm not alone in this as well, are the people that I really want to speak to, and that I have for a long time crammed my calendar full of activities and coffee dates and all sorts of like events all the time, just to, because I thought that was what I needed, but actually I don't need to see people 24/7. I can just focus on the friendships and the kind of, I don't know, the interactions that I really enjoy.
Mm. James, you kind of touched on that in your article as well. You were saying that you think there's been like a peak in or a huge rise in communication over social media, and like, are you fatigued by social interaction through?
I spoke to my family the other day.
What?
yeah, it was a Skype, a family Skype call. I hadn't been invited to before. Apparently, I'd been oversight. But it was nice. Reached out, said hello. Asked some friends from back in the day I haven't spoken to for a while.
But also, you both are. So James, you're English, and Pia, you're half Australian. So do you still have quite a lot of family in Australia?
Well, I have my parents and my brother, but all the rest of my family is actually both in Denmark and the UK.
How do you feel about being in quarantine times? And this question to you as well, James, how do you feel about being away from family during this particular period?
Fine.
It was kind of good timing for me because I had just been back to Australia for 5 weeks over February. So yeah. I got back in, I think, the first week of March, and like 4 days later, the country was locked down, and Australia's got super strict rules on international flights and people visiting now. So it looks like I won't be able to go back, definitely not for the rest of this year, but most likely also there'll be restrictions into the start of next year. That's what it says. That's what they're saying right now, at least. So I don't miss my family so much right now. All my friends over there, because I just had 5 weeks with them. So that was lucky.
That was good timing. That was very fortunate. I think that's mentioned in the article, is talking about sort of this uncertainty, because we're all kind of dealing with uncertainty on various levels. When can I travel again? Job. How about you, Pia? What is the... You also kind of mentioned sort of, and that's, don't want to generalize, but there's a bit of that in the article for the women about sort of planning ahead and sort of that uncertainty that I can't make any plans real now. Like, I don't know if that's not to get into the divide, but like, if that's a difference between men and women about like sort of maybe women are more prone to plan ahead and that could be affecting.
Yeah, I think I actually, a friend that was talking to me about this article before I agreed to be a part of it, she asked a bunch of our friends, and all of the girls said the same thing, pretty much first up, which was planning I miss planning, being able to plan my future. And it's kind of one of those things that you take for granted, because even a few weeks or even a few days in advance right now, you can't really plan anything because you don't know what the situation. Now it's obviously gotten a bit better, but there's so many things like, travel is of course one of those things that I think we've all taken for granted, but like for within my family, for example, my momma is very sick and she's in hospital and she can't have any visitors. And so I think another one of those things where just being able to know when you can visit someone next, that has a big impact. But travel definitely. And then like, there's a few things where I'm meant to be getting married, not this year, thankfully, but next year. But two of my best friends are actually getting married this year. And it's things like that where they've now had to cancel their weddings and they don't know when they're postponing it to. Yeah, and true. There's all of these big life decisions that you would usually be able to kind of put some sort of time frame on, but now, right now you can't.
I
think that's hard.
for sure. I could definitely also relate to that. Like with sort of just having the plans you had before this whole thing happened upon us, sort of like they were suddenly all down the toilet now. What now?
So I think throughout this conversation, we've whatever anybody said, the rest of us are kind of like in agreement or nodding. I think it's that we're all going through the same kind of issues, male, female, whatever gender.
It's tricky, eh?
Yeah, I would say there's obviously some that are quite universal, but yeah, I don't know. I think definitely the boys were being a bit closed off at the start when they answered those questions and said that like football and sex are the only things that they're missing. But
And the pub, don't forget the pub.
Yeah, and the pub.
I can imagine that guys are having a lot of sexual pent-up energy. I mean, I know it's a bit of a stereotype, but I think that guys will probably be hit a little bit harder on that front. I think a lot more dick pics are being sent around.
Oh, yes. Oh God.
If I were to guess, that's just a guess. I'm not good.
I'm glad that's just a guess, James.
My camera's not good enough for my phone.
But Pia, what you were saying that you think they were kind of being a bit, they weren't being very forthcoming then with those kind of answers?
Yeah, that's also, I guess, a stereotype, but women are more kind of open to talking about how they actually feel. And I think, I actually think it's interesting though, because my boyfriend, who's also been working from home for the full time as well, he is absolutely loving this and like loving lockdown and thinking, like, I just heard him on the phone before to his boss talking about how much he was loving it because he had suddenly had much more time. I mean, we obviously don't have kids and I'm so thankful right now that I've never been more thankful to not have kids. But there's so much more time to do the things that you actually enjoy doing, rather than in his case, commuting or, a lot of the pointless meetings have also been cut out in terms of work as well. Just like being able to see the people now that things have loosened up a bit as well, you can still see people, but you kind of prioritize the people you want to see. And it's not just this, I don't know, there just seems to be a lot more balance at least I'm speaking about myself and my boyfriend right now, but that seems how we both feel. Like, we don't want it to go on forever, but we'll definitely come out the other side with some things that it would be good to try and take the other side. I don't know if it'll work out that way.
Yeah.
No, for sure. James, you have a daughter.
A daughter. I do have a daughter. She's 9 years old, and I tried my hand at homeschooling for the first time.
Yeah? How was that?
She was very critical. She was very critical of my homeschooling. I tried my hardest, but apparently I don't know much.
That's also like we're not suddenly, but I guess that's what a lot of people have experienced with some things, that suddenly you're pushed into the deep end, whether it's cooking or having to homeschool your children. You got to give it a go because no one had planned for this stuff.
So if there's anything positive, you guys were saying that there's certain aspects of this that you found positive. What would you suggest people could take out of this? What advice would you give to people to take out of this kind of crazy time?
I'm going to give a vague answer to this. Resourcefulness. You have to kind of simmer down what you have in your life and find out what's important, and also make the most of what little you have. Mm-hmm. And these big changes in life, they can actually help us, you know, because they force us to shake everything loose and kind of wake up a little bit and then look at what we have and try to plan our way forward from that. Makes us smarter, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that this is kind of, it's been such a long period of time now that people have no choice but to sit down and think about what they want moving forward. A pause in your life that will probably, hopefully, never get again, to just reevaluate everything, which sounds a bit cheesy and cliche, but that is essentially what it is.
Absolutely.
Other than being a global pandemic.
Well, let that be the final words. I think that's a beautiful. Thank you so much, James and Pia, for letting us talk to you guys.
Stay safe.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Cheers.
Yeah, thank you.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks to Pia and James.
Yeah, fascinating stuff.
We're not that different.
No, no,
no.
That's what I learned.
Yes. And I thought I liked that the final thought of sort of like this. It's, you know, some good can come out of this. Mm-hmm. Let's dive in and then look at the what do we really need? What do we really sort of appreciate in our lives? That's a beautiful sentiment to sort of take from this whole experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Do you know what else we need to take?
What?
Your advice on what to do this week.
Oh,
it's time for Marius's hot tips.
Boo-boo.
I'm going to, one of these days, I'll make a jingle. One of these days.
It's only been 2 years. as I mentioned, we're approaching or kind of in phase two already. And I'm fairly certain this is a solid hot tip. Like 89%. Because museums are opening up.
You think?
I'm fairly certain. No, I know that's part of phase two.
Right.
Are we in it already? I'm a bit uncertain. But according to Glyptotheca's Facebook page,
yeah,
they're opening up. And before coronavirus, every Tuesday used to be free.
Yes.
Yes. Glyptotheca is the sort of museum, art gallery, historical museum, right smack across from Tivoli. Mm-hmm. And they have a free Tuesday. So on May 19th, you can go and get some culture for free.
You think?
I'm fairly certain.
That sounds good. If it is open, then definitely check it out. If you haven't done it yet, it's fantastic. And if you have done it, I think, why not go again?
Yeah, you probably need some culture. another hot tip, yeah. And this is this might be my absolutely this is my favorite hot tip I've ever given.
Right. Oh God, I know what this is. Yeah.
Goat to meetings.
Sorry. What?
Goat to meetings.
This isn't what I thought it was. What is this?
No. So, most people are doing a lot of Zoom meetings, Microsoft Teams meetings, all of this, you know?
Yes.
Now, there is there's an animal sanctuary in California that's struggling.
Oh, I'm struggling to keep up with you with this. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, all right.
Bear with me.
Uh-huh.
Sweetfarm.org. Yes,
yeah.
They are having some hard times. They want to, you know, it's an animal sanctuary. They want to support their animals. They need to feed them and clean their cages and all of the stuff.
Yeah,
and they're struggling currently. Uh-huh. So in order to raise money, they have done the most brilliant thing.
Uh-huh.
You can now invite a goat to your Zoom meeting.
Right.
Yes. So this is their pitch for it. Need a fresh face to brighten up your video conference meetings? What a fun want a fun experience for an online happy hour or your friend's birthday party? Looking for a virtual tour? The Sweet Farm Animal Ambassadors are here for you. So what happens?
Yeah.
We will join the call, do a quick intro of the farm, and introduce you to the animals on a virtual tour. So that's one option.
Yeah.
You can also just have a goat that's filmed and sort of join your Zoom meeting. And I just think this is the best thing in the world. Because I love goats. Goats are amazing.
They're lovely.
They make cheese.
Yeah.
And they have faces that are hilarious. And I just love goats. I'm a big fan of goats.
Is there like a donation thing that goes with this?
Yes. Right. Yeah, so you pay to have the goat.
I pay to have the privilege of having a goat stare at me while I'm talking to people who I haven't spoken to in 10 years.
And not only that, you can go look at the goats and you can select what goat you want.
Brilliant.
And they have a bunch of great goats. So a 10-minute corporate meeting cameo with a goat, so the goat is the cameo, is $100 donations.
Jesus Christ.
25-minute, $250.
Jesus Christ.
25-minute VIP meeting tour, $750.
What are you doing to us, Marius?
I think this is what everyone needs to do in their Zoom meetings. I want to support sweetfarm.org. It means a lot to me. And we need more goats in our lives.
Right.
Yes.
Gotta be interesting. If anybody does that, let us know.
Yes, please make a video of it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a hell of a tip. It's a hell of a tip.
That's the goat of all tips. You get what
I don't
get
that.
Greatest of all times, goat.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, Owen. Oh, yeah.
I think you've snapped.
Uh-huh.
Right, I'm going to come back down to earth and give you a tip as well, actually.
Cool.
There's, not that goats aren't amazing.
Goats
it's just
are the best.
Mental. There's a wonderful cafe, Ali Bakery, actually. Ali's Bakery.
Mm-hmm.
You know Red Square?
Yep.
Right?
So on Neville?
Yeah. If you go down Red Square, if you don't know it, it's the big red square at the bottom of Norborough, but near Norborough Station.
Mm-hmm.
On the opposite side to the square, where that big mural is, normally it's of like Roskilde or something.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a bakery at the corner there.
Oh, and that glass kind of...
The little glass triangle piece.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Ali's Bakery, right? Fantastic food.
Oh.
Really, really nice. You can get like a, for like 45 krone, you can get a brunch, right? And it's like a few, couple of things, a flatbread, some hummus, some couple of different cheeses, some salad, really nice salad, and a couple of eggs. And then you've also got like flatbreads and all sort of dips and different kind of toppings and everything.
Yeah, for, hummus?
Yeah, 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 for all really good prices.
Baba ganoush?
I would say so.
Mm.
I didn't ask, but I'm sure he's there somewhere. So I'd recommend go there, grab one of those, a couple of those, and then go to the park. What's Stephen's Cafe? What's the park near there?
Noble.
Yep. Because there's a couple of open outside bars there now.
McKellar's down. Yeah.
McKellar's serving beers outside, and then there's a Carlsberg one. Mm. No, Tuborg one outside of Stephen's Cafe.
Yep.
There's also
the kiosk if you're feeling low on cash.
Yep.
Grab a simple classic in there.
Absolutely. And go and enjoy just some food and enjoy the park. That's my hot tip.
That is a hot tip, Owen.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Goats, might be goat cheese as well, so we might be able to eat those too. I don't know.
Oh.
We'll put it back in.
Hello.
And that's goat the show. Is that work? I don't, what is it? The greatest of all time show. Yeah. That's the goat show.
Goat show. Very good. Very
right.
good.
I think that's it.
Owen, it's been a pleasure.
It's been all right.
Thank you for that.
Thank you very much for listening. Check out the podcast on Spotify.
iTunes.
Subscribe, give us a like, give us a rating, all that jazz.
Yep.
And check out Facebook for links to things we've been talking about and photos of our faces and all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Goodbye.